Well, it is a joy to be in church this morning, the last Sunday of 2024. Why would you want to be anywhere else? I mean, if you're unwell, of course, that's fair enough. If you're traveling interstate to see family, I guess that's reasonable as well. Presumably watching on live stream or listening, not watching if you're driving. But where else could you be on the last Sunday of 2024 celebrating or sort of wrapping up our celebrations of Christmas? The hymn, which we know as a carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. In the last verse, it says, mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give. Second birth, we've all heard it many, many, many times before. It's okay, you didn't need to sing it. I didn't plan on singing it, and I started it in a key too high. So that was a great start to the verse. But this was written by Charles Wesley. This hymn talks about the Son of God and the purpose that he came. The reason that Jesus came to earth and for what we call Christmas, and that is born that man no more may die. It's an incredibly special celebration for us, isn't it, church? We often, I guess, in the cultural vernacular, we talk about the 12 days of Christmas. We celebrate really what is a month of Christmas. But what I, by the end of this message, what I want you to think to yourself is that every day is Christmas Day. By the end of this message, you'll be saying to yourself, today is my Christmas Day. And that might make more sense when I get there. It's an incredibly special time for us because we celebrate this heralded time and what it means for each of us personally, but what it means for the world. You know, the angels, as they came to the shepherds on the hill, they declared glory to God and peace on earth and goodwill to all men, right? This was their message to the shepherds. And there is an incredibly special thing about Christmas. It is a message to the entire world. And for each one of us sitting in here, we each have personally experienced and know that the message came to us individually. Each one of us know that actually, for those who believe, when Jesus came, was born into Bethlehem, in that stable, into a laid in a manger, each of us know that actually his purpose and his plan was for each of us individually. What a crazy thought. 2,000 years ago, precious Lord Jesus, mild he lays his glory by, would be born that Reese no more may die. You know, we celebrate the Son of God being sent into the world to take on the form of man, leaving glory behind in heaven, to give his life as a ransom for all those who would believe. It is probably, up until the birth of Jesus, was the most obvious sign of God's salvation plan for all of humanity. We're going to look, you know, the primary reason for Jesus' purpose in coming was that he might seek and save those who were lost. But there was a secondary purpose. And it's not secondary in priority, it's secondary in the sense of maybe the time in which it takes place, the schedule or order of Jesus' activities. So we're going to turn there and have a look at Jesus' secondary purpose and see actually that this is what Christmas means to us each day. And turn with me to John chapter 17 and verse 18 to 19. John chapter 17. This is Jesus speaking, praying actually. And he says, sanctify them. And when he says them, he's talking about the disciples that are there in the room with him. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. We read here in the Gospel of John, Jesus' prayer to God the Father. The chapters leading up to this passage right here are all taking place in the upper room, actually right towards the end of Jesus' life. So he's in the upper room. He's just had the Last Supper. He's partaking in what we now call communion with the disciples. And he's just been sharing with the disciples God's plan, what Jesus is about to do, all that's to take place. And in chapter 17, he starts his prayer. And the entire chapter is a record of Jesus' prayer to God the Father. He prays for the disciples specifically, which is part of what we just read, and then he prays for all believers. And in this prayer, he reveals a number of really key things. Now, recently, Daniel shared a message, Just a Little L. I think, is that what it's called? Just a Little L. Do you remember what he preached about? He said he was comparing the Word and the world. Well, this is that same passage, but if you have a look at it through there, not only will you recognize Jesus talking about the Word and the world, you'll recognize that he uses the word sent several times. And what we'll see here this morning, church, is that Jesus was sent so that we might be sent. Jesus was sent to send. Sent. Yeah, with an S, not with a C. He was nearing the end of his life, and here reveals one of his key purposes in coming into this world, to send forth messengers to follow in his very footsteps. So we're going to look at three quick points in this passage, and they all begin with S. As we really listen into the Word of God today. And I just ask that we might bow our heads this morning, church, and ask that God would help us to take in what He would have us understand from His Word this morning. Why don't you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, I pray that You would help us to understand Your Word this morning, that would become part of our very core spirit. It would become part of who we are, our thinking. That it would lead us and inspire us to follow You, to be more obedient to You, to love You, and Lord, to know how loved we are as well. And I pray for each and every person that might be in this room and those who might be watching on the live stream, that they would be touched by Your message this morning. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Number one is sent. Jesus was sent to earth. In John chapter 3, verse 16, it says for us that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have an everlasting life. You see, it was God the Father's plan that Jesus would be sent into the world, that He would come, He would take on the form of man, and He would enter into time and into space, taking on human flesh. Philippians chapter 2, which won't be on the screen, tells us that he, thinking it not robbery to be in the equal or in the form of God, took on himself the form of a man. You know, the very God who created all of the universe, who is infinitely, who was infinitely, has always pre-existed, who is all-powerful, all-knowing, holds the entire world and all of the universe and creation by the power of His hands, who was and who is to come, who by Him all things have been created, nothing that has been created. How does that go? All things have been created by Him. I'm trying to think, there's like a double negative in that verse. Have been created by Jesus, and He holds all things together. This very God came in the form of a man. But you know, when God created Adam and Eve, how old was Adam, do you think, when God created him? We think he was probably a man, right? Instantly of adult type age. Who knows how old exactly? But Adam didn't ever have to learn to walk or crawl. Adam never had to be fed by his mother. He started in perfection at already a dignified age, able to take care of his own bodily functions. And yet our Lord, creator of all heaven and earth, took on the form not of a man, but of a baby. How precious, fragile, frail, dependent. The God who we are all dependent on for our very life and existence, entered into time and space and became dependent. Think of the manger. We have these incredible illustrations of Jesus being wrapped in cloth, lying in a manger. The hay is beautifully soft. Who's ever touched soft hay? Who knows? And the swaddling clothes are nice and clean. The manger is clean. The stable is clean. The animals are all had a bath, you know, and they're all smiling and all this sort of stuff. But let's actually look at it a little bit realistic for a second. This was a feeding trough for animals, farm animals. Now, occasionally I'll go past the paddocks just near our house, and I'll be in, like, you know, walking past them or whatever, and even at a distance, there is a waft. Even at a distance, there is a distinguishable odor, a must, if you will. But just think about Jesus. Could you consider, maybe if you came up with some extreme scenario, you might be able to come up with something which was more unclean to be birthed into than that. But that's reaching about as unclean as you might ever see a baby being born into. Just think about health for a second. The potential diseases in the stable that the Lord of all creation was born into. Contrast this to Adam, who was formed as a man into perfect human being in a perfect garden without death, disease, or sickness. And Jesus is born into a manger with some smelly farm animals, no family around him except for Mary and Joseph, and completely dependent on those around him for his survival. You see, Jesus was sent. But he wasn't just sent. He was given and he came willingly to earth for us. You know, how many of us might have sent packages or presents overseas before? If you've sent packages overseas, you'll know that actually the cost of the sending can be a significant proportion of the value of the package. Well, I have a brother who lives in the Netherlands and his family. And one Christmas, I think it was a year ago, maybe thereabouts, we decided we're going to send them a package with lots of Aussie goodies in it. You know, like Tim Tams and Shapes, not a sponsor. And Vegemite, no, not Vegemite, and I don't know, Cadbury chocolate, all these things, the things that you can get in Australia but you can't get necessarily in the Netherlands, at least not for a reasonable price, okay? And so we put it all together, and Mira went to the post office, and I, knowing that, of course, the weight was going to be a significant contributing factor to the cost of the sending the package, tried her best to sort of get the things which would be nice, without including, you know, like lead, right? And I can't remember the value of the present. Let's just say, for argument's sake today, it was $50. I think it was maybe a bit more, but let's just say it was $50. The cost to send that package over to the Netherlands was something in the order of the cost of the value of the goods in the package. But that cost, or the value of the sending it, was what we paid here. The value of the package when it arrived there was actually significantly more. Because the value of the package when it arrived actually had included all of the sentiment, the love, the commitment that it took to get there. And for each one of us, God the Father not only sent his Son into the world, but actually, he sent him here with a purpose. He sent him here with infinite love and mercy and grace on his mind. Not that Jesus would come and just live a good life, and do good things and make miracles, whatever it might be, but actually Jesus came that you and I might be saved. He came to proclaim the good news. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. This is presumably somewhere near the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And Jesus went to Nazareth where he had been brought up. That's where he was raised. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue as was his custom. This is what he did each Sabbath day. If you think that going to church is not important, well, Jesus thought it was pretty important. And he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. And unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has," what's that word there? "Sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." You know, Jesus' ministry, the reason why he came was to proclaim the good news. We are the recipients of that good news, aren't we? He came to preach to the poor. He came to preach to the lowly. He came to preach to sinners. He came to preach to the outcasts. He came to heal the lepers. He came to heal the blind. He came to raise the dead. He came to reach anybody and everybody. He came to even reach tax collectors climbing up in trees. He came for everybody. In Luke 4, verse 43, he said, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." In 1 John 4, verse 10, it tells us, "This is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." And in verse 14, "And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world." You know, Christ came to be our mercy seat, to satisfy God's holy justice and wrath against sin. You can see, church, this is just point one, and I'm mindful already of time. I don't need to provide any more evidence, but Jesus was sent. He was sent with a mission. His first and primary mission was to save the world. But what we read in John chapter 17 was, he said, "Just as I have been sent," or "just, Father, as you have sent me, so I have sent them." Well, in order to be sent, this is point number two, you have to be set apart. You have to be sanctified. Jesus says in the next verse, As I have been set apart, so I sanctify them, or I've sanctified them in your word. Jesus was set apart for his work on the earth from the very beginning. From the very beginning. Revelations chapter 13 and verse 8 tells us that he was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. You see, Jesus was set apart. He was anointed. He was dedicated. He was commissioned, in a sense, to be our Savior from the very beginning. It was God's plan to send Jesus into the world. It was God's plan that he would be born into that stinky manger. Into that stinky stable. I should use that as better alliteration. It was God's plan for Jesus to come into this world and to save the lost. Well, let me tell you, church, if you agree with that point, be very, very careful. Because if God's plan includes Jesus' setting apart and sanctification, it includes yours as well. as much as Jesus has been commissioned or was commissioned to come into the world, so likewise you have been sanctified, you have been set apart, you have been foreordained for good works in his kingdom. You should consider yourself no less ordained by God to do incredible things on this earth than Jesus was the day that he came into the stable. You're sitting here this morning, church, and actually Christmas is every day. What I mean by that is because you have been sent and you have been sanctified and you've been foreordained and you have been prepared to do good works that God has prepared for you in eternity past. And Christmas Day is every day an opportunity to recognize that God has sent you into the world. We've been saved, church. Our setting apart, our commissioning has started with becoming new creatures, new creations. We've been given a new spirit. The condition of our souls was such that at first we needed to be saved, to have our sins removed, to be given a new heart, made a new creation, or as the carol said, to receive a second birth. I'm going to turn to Colossians chapter 2, and this won't be on the screen because I just wanted to read it before. I didn't think about it earlier. So if you have your Bibles with me, you'll need to turn or else you'll just have to listen, which I'm sure you're already doing. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13 to 15. And I think this is probably my most favorite passage in all of Scripture. And if you don't, it won't be on the screen. If you don't have the ability to read it, then what I'd ask for you to do is to close your eyes right now then and listen to my words. When you were dead in your sins and in this uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. The other day we were in prayer and I was meditating, in a sense, on this passage. And I was imagining in my mind Jesus being whipped prior to being crucified. And I thought about the lashes that went across Jesus' back. And I thought about how each lash represented one of my sins. I thought about how each lash across his back and opening up of his skin represented one of your sins. And I thought about as his back was torn open, time after time, 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 that they were each one of my sins and your sins being laid across his back. And then he took the cross on his back. And he carried it up the hill, was lifted up onto that cross, and nails put through his hands and through his feet. And I love the picture that's here in this verse. It says, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, that is our sin, which stood against us and condemned us, he took our legal charge. Could you imagine, church? Do you remember those old printer papers? Really long ones. They had those perforations so you could tear them off, but you had these really long rolls of printer paper. Do you know the ones I'm talking about? I imagine that all my sin, past and future, written down on like printed out on that sort of paper. And it gets nailed alongside Jesus' hands, up there on the cross. As the cross gets lifted up, this printer paper starts falling and unfolding at each of the segments towards the ground. Unfortunately, that printer paper would reach the ground. And it would continue down the hill. But as Jesus is up there on that cross, the blood from his hands starts to run down that page. The blood from the wounds on his back start to run down that page. Start to run down that cross. Start to run down that hill. Start to wash away all of that black ink that was on that legal paper. It didn't destroy the paper. It made it clean. The blood washed away the black ink of my legal indebtedness. It hung up there on the cross, not because I did anything, but Jesus took with him that paper. You see, that cross wasn't heavy from physical weight. It was heavy from the burden of sin. Because it wasn't just mine that hung up there on the cross with his. All the paper in the world couldn't record or document all of our sin. And yet there it was, in a spiritual sense, nailed to him, nailed to the cross, carried on his back with those whip lashes. And on that very cross that day, he took yours and my sin. You know, for some of us, we've been going to church a long, long time. And there are times in our life where we walk away from God, or we just don't feel so close to him. Or maybe we're going through a period where we're struggling with a sin, struggling with something that we've done wrong, and we feel like we can't come to church, we can't come back to God. Maybe you feel like, I can't come to church or I can't serve because I'm a hypocrite. I'd be a hypocrite. I want you to know this morning, church, that actually anybody who's here is already a hypocrite. That Jesus died on that cross for hypocrites. Jesus died on that cross for anyone who would believe. And his love is so vast, his love and God's love is so great that anybody can come. Anybody can come. Do not discount yourself. He has not discounted you. He has called you, he has set you apart, and he has given you a mission. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, and verse 10, Paul writes, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do." So here's the third S, church. You've been sent. Jesus said, "Father, you've sent me, and so now I send them." You have been commissioned. You've been sanctified. You've been set apart. And now it is your job. You have been sent. Every day is Christmas. Paul wrote, this won't be on the screen. Paul wrote, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." We are called to imitate Christ's very nature, that we might imitate his work on the earth. That we are called to be sent. He was sent to send us. In Matthew 5, verse 13, we won't read it all. It tells us that you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. And if the salt loses its saltiness, well, then it's thrown out. But you and I, we are called to be salt and light. Influential. If you add salt to food, you may not see it, but you can taste it. If you light up a dark room, it will fill that room. Church, we are called to be influential in our society, as much as salt is in a meal or as much as light is in a dark room. We are called and chosen and have been sent by God. We have been called to preach the gospel as Christ did. Romans 10 and verse 15. How will they know unless someone has been sent? How, like it's been said, how good it is, or how precious are those, are the beautiful of the feet of those who bring good news. How can anyone preach unless they are sent? Well, let me tell you, church, I'm giving you permission right now, or I'm telling you, I'm informing you, I'm doing my due diligence to let you know that you have been sent. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17 says for us, for Christ did not send me, this is the Apostle Paul, send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. You might think to yourself, I'm not very eloquent. I'm not particularly articulate. I am not a great speaker. I don't know how to say all the big things. I don't know all the Bible verses. I don't know all this thing. Church, you don't need to be any of those things. You have been sent. You have been called to be the salt. You've been called to be light. You've been called to go and to preach the good news. And you don't need a platform to preach. You don't need a soapbox on the corner to preach either. You need a mouth, an ability to speak. That's even not even a prerequisite. You could write. You need a passion and a heart and a hunger and the inspiration and boldness of the Holy Spirit to say, go and preach the gospel. Christmas for us as believers is now a calling for those who believe. When we celebrate Christmas, it's not just a celebration of the past. It's a recognition of now our own calling. Christmas every day is a recognition of the fact that we have been sanctified and set apart and sent. I have 5 questions for you this morning, church. Who will follow the Lord's command and go and preach the gospel? Who here is willing to reach out to the poor, the lowly, and the outcasts? Who here is willing to leave their home comfort as Christ did and go and reach the lost? Who here is willing to go to a foreign land to reach those who do not know God? Who here will respond to the call of God on your life? I'm shocked that there weren't more me, or anything like that across this room. I believe God's calling us in 2025 to respond to His call and say, yes, Lord, I'll go. To go to our friends, to go to our neighbors, to go to the mission field overseas, to become to be missionaries, to be trained to be missionaries. I feel like God is calling us as a church to go, to recognize His call, to recognize His command, to recognize His direction, and to follow His example and be sent. With Jesus' act at Christmas time as our inspiration to reach a lost and broken world with the gospel. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came into this world to save us, to give us new life, that we no more may die. You've forgiven us of our sins, and we are incredibly grateful. Lord, we recognize the commission that we've now received from you as believers to go into this world. Lord, I pray that by a mighty work of your Spirit, we would be encouraged, emboldened to preach your good news. Lord, I pray for us as a community, for us as a church, that we would go and reach the lost for your kingdom. Lord Jesus, we'd have such a passion to seek and save the lost just as you did. Lord, as each one of us in this room is sitting here, I pray that your Holy Spirit would begin to touch individual hearts with a special call. A call to go. A call to ministry. A call to service. A call to be sent by you. Lord, inspire us this morning. Give us fire and a zeal to serve you in this way. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Be careful what you pray for.